So I'll just open this service in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this place and thank you for your church family. Thank you, Lord, that we are coming to into our own presence, but also to your presence as well. And we pray that that we will really sense the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning. And all our praise and our worship will be honouring and acceptable to you. Father, just lift our hearts, lift our voices as we praise and worship you. And we pray again, Lord, that that we would leave this place later knowing that we've met with the living God. So we commend this time to you now for your blessing, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, to stand or sit if you wish to sing our opening song, which is what we should do every day. Worship God in the morning sunrise. It starts the day off beautifully. So please praise God. Going to enter, a period of worship. Not that we aren't already in a period of worship, but a more formal one anyway. I'm going to open this time before we sing a few songs, which with a reading from Psalm 62. And it's verses 1 to 8 and then 11 to 12. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. And verses 11 and 12, actually from the Amplified Bible. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belong mercy and loving kindness, for you render to every man, and indeed woman, according to their work. And we know that God will add his blessing to that reading from his word. Okay, again, we're going to enter a time of sung praise and worship. So if you'd like to stand or sit, whichever, we're going to sing three songs now, beginning with The Splendour of the King. Thank you.
Great is our God, and all see her reign.
And again, thank you, Lord, that you are, this is amazing grace that saved us, Lord, your fallen people. And thank you that you are an amazing God. You are splendor. And our desire is to love you more. So, Father, may our hearts be open to you. May our worship be continuous, Lord, every hour of every day. And may your love flow through us into this dark world that needs you as their savior. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, at this point, I think our youngsters will lead for the Sunday school, and I just want to have a quick prayer for them before they go out. So, Father, again, we thank you for all the people in this church, particularly our youngsters, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, that we are all children of God, and we pray, Lord, for this time now where when they leave and they will learn more about you. And I pray for the teachers as well, Lord, that they will be able to share your love and share stories perhaps about you that will encourage our youngsters to grow more and more into a relationship with you. Father, just thank you for all that you've done for each and every one of us. And again, we pray your blessing on our Sunday school in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You're not going? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Fine. Yeah, we're now just going to have a time of general prayers. I know that later on, after communion, which I'm sure you've noticed with the table there, Alistair will be giving more sort of pastoral type prayers, but it's just a good time to spend just a few minutes in prayer for the church, about the church meeting that I mentioned earlier on, perhaps future direction, or indeed our sponsored children as well, that mentioned again with the through compassion. And indeed we have one secret child who we don't know who they are, where they are, but through Open Doors, because obviously that's a persecuted church, so it's, from a security point of view, we don't need to know about that, but God knows. That's the main thing, God knows. So anyway, and then perhaps if we get a bit of time, but I think we might be pushing it a bit tough for our nation and slightly wider world. But anyway, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this body of people that you've brought here into this fellowship, Lord, over 30 years, Lord. And some of us have been here an awful long time, and some people are very new, Lord. And that's great, because, Lord, thank you for drawing everybody into this fellowship for, as they say, such a time as this, Lord, that we all have work to do. And, Lord, our main work is to praise you and to thank you, Lord. But we pray that our hearts would be open to be used by you in whatever way you want for the expansion of your kingdom in this area and perhaps further afield, Lord, depending on how where we operate normally. Father, again, we just pray for our church meeting on a week tomorrow. We pray for unity. We pray for discernment, Lord, that we may really discern and understand what your will is for us as a body of your people. Father, we've had a time of almost furlough, I suppose, in secular terms, Lord, where we've had to rest because of circumstances. But Lord, now we thank you that your Spirit is moving among us. Father, just let us be sensitive to that leading. And Lord, as we want to serve you and do the work for you that you want us to do. We thank you, Lord, for that we are in partnership with you, even though you don't need us, Lord. It's just amazing to think that you want to use us as your vessels, as your ambassadors, and as your tools, I guess, in this wider world. So help us, Lord, to know your leading over that situation. And again, Lord, in the future direction, may we be sensitive to that leading, so that, Lord, we don't just want to stay here sort of static as a social club, Lord. We are here. We are your people. We are your workers. And we need to look to expand your kingdom, Lord, in our daily lives. Father, we give thanks for that we can touch the lives of others. And we thank you, Lord, for our BMS missionaries, Lord, for the Dupre family in Albania, and also, of course, for Brian and Jackie, who we'll be seeing next week. But Father, also we thank you for that we can be involved in the lives of our children. We sponsor through compassion. And indeed, the Open Doors Secret Child. Lord, we don't necessarily have physical contact with them, but thank you that we can keep in contact, we can encourage them, and we can provide the means through our financial giving and our prayer support, Lord, that they might develop and become the children that you want them to be. Father, pray your protection over them and their families too. And thank you, Lord, that we have testimonies in the past of children that have, or young people have been through that system, have developed into real mature children of God, and no doubt doing your work in the places where they're at. So, Father, thank you for that privilege of being involved in that situation. Father, we pray for our nation at this time of turbulence, Lord. Lord, sometimes we don't know what's going on, but you do. You are in control. And we pray that you would grant wisdom, integrity, and, Lord, to all our leaders. And Lord, that they would be able to focus on the job in hand, Lord, and not be sidetracked by various other things that would detract, Lord, from the important business of running this country. And indeed for the situation throughout the world. Obviously, Ukraine is on our hearts, but there are other areas of conflict. Lord, again, we don't know ourselves how to pray, but Lord, you know the answers, Lord, and we just commend all these things over to you. So, Father, we just bring all these things to you now for your blessing. And for your glory, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, Alistair will be coming to us shortly. And I'm just going to read. Oh, yes, that's all right. I've had a load of adverts all over my the app I've got on here, but I'm going to get rid of them all now so I can actually read it, although the reading will be on the board. And Alistair will be continuing his theme, and we're going to be reading from Mark chapter 2, from verse 18 to the 28, which is the end. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast when he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." And again, we know that God will add his blessing to that reading from his word. I'm just going to invite Alistair to come, and I'll just pray for him before he speaks. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the lessons that we learn from it. We thank you that it is our rule book, but Lord, our guide, Lord, in our daily lives. And we thank you for the way that you have enabled Alistair to be able to not just study your word, but to actually share your word in a very practical way with meaning for each of us. And Lord, we pray that our hearts will be open to what you have to say to us through Alistair's words. Be they your words, Lord, not his. And we pray, Lord, again, that we would all leave this place knowing whether we've been encouraged or challenged or whatever it may be is appropriate to our situation. Lord, that we would really leave here having benefited from hearing your word. And we pray all these things now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Lights, please, Jenny. Just get the lights, please. Okay. Thanks very much to Bernie for leading us in worship. Some things just don't go together, do they? Electrical devices and water. Your phone and the mobile and the bath. Food. Sprouts. And ice cream. Sprouts and anything, let's be honest. Colours. Apparently blue and green should not be seen. Never knew that. Apologies to anyone wearing blue and green this morning. Animals. Cats and mice. Politicians and answering the question. Some things just don't go together, do they? Now, Bible reading from Mark 2 told us about something else that doesn't go together. Religion and relationship. Religion and relationship. So verse 18 tells us that some people came to Jesus. And they asked him a question. How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? Now, Judaism only required one mandatory fast a year for all of Israel. Just one. But over the years, Jewish teaching had introduced all sorts of other reasons to fast. So, for instance, fasting to remember national tragedies, like the time when the Babylonians destroyed the temple, 587 BC. Fasting in times of crisis, drought, famine, plague, war. Fasting for any one of a number of personal reasons. The Pharisees at that time fasted twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays. So it's as if the people are saying to Jesus, look, the disciples of John the Baptist, the disciples of the Pharisees, they are like the Liverpool and the Manchester City of the Premier League. But your disciples, well, they're like the Burnley and the Norwich City of the Premier League, bottom of the table. So if you and your disciples want to be taken seriously, you better pay greater attention to the fasting protocols. And verses 23 and 24 tell us about another incident. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Now, keeping the Sabbath was one of the Ten Commandments, wasn't it? And over the years, the prophets and the teachers had underlined the importance of keeping the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath marked the people of Israel out from their pagan neighbours. Keeping the Sabbath showed they belonged to God, the one true God. Keeping the Sabbath showed that they were God's people, the creator of all things, the one true God, who himself had rested on the seventh day. So the question the Pharisees were asking themselves is something like this. Okay, the Sabbath says you're not allowed to work on the Sabbath. So what exactly is work? What can you do on the Sabbath, and what can't you do on the Sabbath? And they came up with a long list of rules and regulations. Now, some of the things on their list would not surprise us. So, you are not allowed to plough on the Sabbath. You are not allowed to hunt on the Sabbath. You are not allowed to fish on the Sabbath. But some of the things on their long list of man-made rules and regulations, you would not expect. So, you are not allowed to tie or untie knots on the Sabbath. You are not allowed to sew more than one stitch on the Sabbath. You are not allowed to write more than one letter on the Sabbath. And I don't mean a whole letter, I mean the equivalent of an A or a B or a C. And the Pharisees watch people very carefully to make sure they are keeping their man-made rules and regulations. And one Sabbath, Jesus, one of the new leaders of a new movement, is walking through the cornfields with his disciples. And they pick some ears of corn. Alarm bells are beginning to ring here, aren't they? Because if they are picking ears of corn, they are reaping. If they are reaping, they are working. And so they have just profaned the Sabbath. And again, it's as if the Pharisees are saying, we are the Liverpool and the Manchester City of the Premier League. We keep the man-made rules and regulations. But your disciples, Burnley, Norwich, even Crystal Palace, they are bottom of the table. They don't keep the rules and regulations. So how does Jesus respond to all of this? Well, do you remember that first question? How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? Well, as you heard from the reading, against the somber backdrop of fasting, Jesus replies with a festive picture of a wedding feast. Now, I know that some of you have already been to weddings during this year. Some of you are looking forward to family weddings. Some of you are looking forward to family weddings very, very soon. All of a sudden, they are here. But in the first century, a wedding in a Jewish village lasted for a whole week. A whole week. And if you are a guest at the wedding, really all you've got to do is just sit back and relax and enjoy yourself. I mean, there's loads of food, there's loads of wine, there's loads of singing, there's loads of dancing. There is loads of fun. Fun on the streets and in the houses. So any thought of fasting at a wedding is completely inappropriate, isn't it? And what does Jesus say? Well, he says he's the bridegroom. How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he's with them? They cannot so long as they have him with them. Now, Jesus isn't saying you should never fast. He's not saying that fasting is wrong. He's not saying that religious ritual is bad. What he's saying is this: fasting is a sign of mourning. Fasting is a sign of mourning. How can my disciples fast when they are with me, the bridegroom? How can they fast when they see me bringing in the kingdom and performing acts of mercy? How can they fast when they see me healing the sick and delivering the demon-possessed, feeding the multitude, giving people a brand new start, a brand new life? Yes, the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. And of course, the time will come when Jesus will be arrested, forcibly tried and sentenced, and nailed to a cross. Maybe then fasting would be appropriate, would it? So when Jesus was with the disciples physically, it's not fitting they should fast. When he's taken away, when he's crucified, fasting is fitting. But can you see that Jesus himself is always the key? And it comes back to what we said right at the beginning. Religion and relationship just don't go together. Everything must center around Jesus. Acts of worship, fasting, keeping the Sabbath must be an expression of our relationship with him. Not religion, not religious ritual on its own, because that's dry and barren, but relationship with Christ. You know, sometimes I've heard Christians sort of say something like this, even if they don't perhaps express it in so many words, but they seem to think something like this, that if I pray, if I read my Bible, if I go to church, as I have this morning, God will bless me. If I begin to stop praying, if I don't read my Bible like I should, if I stop going to church, God's going to punish me. It's all about ritual, not about relationship. Or if I pray for a certain length of time, if I use the right words, the right formula, if I fast, God will bless me. God's duty bound to answer my prayers. If I do good to other people, if I give money to a certain ministry, if I get involved in church life, God will bless me, and he'll bless me materially. It's all about religion and ritual, not about relationship. And they don't go together. And to underline the importance of this, Jesus gives two very crisp parables, doesn't he? Jesus says, this is like the sewing bee here, isn't it? Jesus said, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. I don't know if you've ever made homemade ginger beer. Homemade ginger beer, even though it's non-alcoholic, has a habit of exploding. Absolutely notorious for exploding. One person I knew who was reading about, he deliberately kept his homemade ginger beer in the coal shed for that very reason. But every so often, he'd walk into the coal shed and he'd find pieces of shattered glass all over the floor and trails through the coal dust where the liquid had sort of run out and seeped away, exploded. And that's the sort of picture I get in my mind here about new wine being poured into old wineskins. The new wine ferments, It expands. It bursts those old, brittle wineskins. And a similar sort of wine, I don't really claim to be any expert on these things, but if you sew a piece of unshrunk cloth onto an old garment and then wash it, the new piece shrinks and it causes a tear in both the patch and the garment. And again, what the parables are saying is this, surely, religion and relationship do not go together. The good news of forgiveness and joy and salvation through faith in Jesus Christ are incompatible with this old, threadbare, torn religion of the Pharisees. How can inflexible legalism go together with the sparkling new wine of Jesus Christ? How can adding hundreds of man-made rules and regulations to God's law go together with the joy of Jesus Christ? How can dull rituals and religious performance go together with grace and forgiveness? We don't add Jesus to our best efforts, do we? You can't contain him in the shriveled vessel of our self-righteousness. What Jesus is doing can't be fitted in with the old way of doing things. New wine is for new wineskins. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's bringing something completely new. Not more religion. Goodness me, we've had enough of religion and rules and ritual. He's bringing you new life, new connection, new communion, new relationship with God himself. And then there's that other incident. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Again, what we are seeing here is relationship is more important than religion. Jesus does not deny that his disciples are out of step with traditional Sabbath observance. What he's doing is highlighting special circumstances and scriptural precedents. He mentions King David there, doesn't he? Israel's greatest king, forerunner of the Messiah. Think back over David's life just for a second. Remember that time in David's life? He'd been anointed by Samuel, but he hadn't yet been enthroned because Saul was still king. Remember that bit? So David's on the run. He's gathering support. He's waiting for his time. And the implication here is that Jesus, the son of David, is the true king, marked out by God, presumably at his baptism, but he's not yet recognized. He's not yet enthroned. And so when his disciples are hungry, he has the right to bypass normal regulations. Not as an act of wanton civil disobedience. This is a sign. It's a deliberate sign, isn't it? Just like refusing to fast. The king is here. His kingdom is breaking in. So as he said, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Well, we do thank God, don't we, for the traditions of our faith. But we don't want traditionalism to replace trust in Christ. We thank God for the beauty of his law, but we don't want legalism to replace our walk with Christ. And we thank God too for rituals, but we don't want rituals to replace relationship with Christ. Some things just don't go together, do they? And that includes religion and relationship. So let's pray together. And Father, thank you for reminding us once again so clearly that for reflecting on things like religion and rituals, you've reminded us again that it's all about relationship. And Lord, what we want more than anything else is for you to deepen our love and our desire for Jesus, that our lives really will be centered around him, that our lives really will be all about him. And whilst we thank you for the traditions of our faith, Lord, we don't want traditionalism to replace trust in Christ. While we thank you for the beauty of your law, we don't want legalism to replace our walk with Christ. While we thank you for religious rituals, we don't want rituals to replace our relationship with Christ. So our prayer is this morning that every part of our lives, our worship, our giving, our praying, our Bible reading, every part of our lives might flow from our relationship with Jesus, loving him and living for him and serving him and knowing him. We ask it all in his name. Amen. So we continue in our worship. We're going to sing again, and we're going to sing a song that helps us remember the wonder of our salvation in Jesus Christ. When I survey the wondrous cross. We just get the lights again, please. Fantastic, thank you. So as we continue in our worship, we come to celebrate communion together. And please say the words against all on the screen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let's pray together. We're going to use words based on Psalm 23. Let's come into God's presence as we pray. So, Lord God, we are here to worship you. Let your love guide us and let your faithfulness lead us. We come here to ask for your forgiveness, to gather around your table, to bring you our thanksgiving, and to proclaim your redemption. So we ask that you will receive the praise of your people. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Many times when we have broken God's commandments, so just take a moment or two for silent confession and repentance. Just a time of quiet when we can bring before our God those areas where we failed him and let him down. So may the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as we continue, please again say the words against all. So if I can invite you to say, please, holy,
holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, the sun and the house.
Father of all, we give you thanks for every gift that comes from heaven. To the darkness, Jesus came as your light. With signs of faith and words of hope, he touched untouchables with love and wash the guilty clean. This is his story. The crowds came out to see your son, yet in the end they turned on him. On the night he was betrayed, he came to table with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. This is his story. Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, this is my body given for you all. Jesus then gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup, gave it, and said, this is my blood shed for you all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. This is our story. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate the cross on which he died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for us and all the world. This is our story. Amen. And every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, so now if I can invite the stewards to serve the bread, please. Please eat the bread as you receive it, but please keep the cups when they're served and we drink together to remind ourselves of our unity in Christ. Now if I can invite the stewards to serve the wine, please. Please keep the cups until we've all received one, then we will drink together to remind ourselves of our love for one another and our unity in Christ. So as we drink wine, let's just remind ourselves of the wonderful truth of the gospel and again say the words against all, please. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Amen. Let's continue in prayer. Father, once again, we want to thank you so much for the wonder of your love. Thank you that our dear Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, suffered for sins. Thank you that he suffered as the righteous for the unrighteous, and he suffered to bring us to you. Lord, we are so grateful for that amazing grace that saved us, and we're so grateful for so great a salvation. And just being so aware of your love as we worship together, we want to pray in love for those people who need that special touch from you at this time. Lord, we continue to lift into your presence Ninette and Mike and Moira and Susie. We also continue to remember Harold and Mary and Mike. We think of Graham Nin and Judith. We think of Janet Wright. Remember others who are on our hearts. We think of Karen's dad and Daphne's cousin. We think of Keith, a family member of Debbie and Elizabeth, all of whom are so poorly just at this time. And Lord, we pray that you might minister your comfort, your healing, and your blessing. Lord, these people are very dear to us, and they are on our hearts, but we thank you, even more importantly, that they are so dear and precious to you, and that they are on your heart, and that you love them. So with that awareness of your love, that confidence in your love, and indeed in your power, we lift them to before you, Lord, and just pray your blessing upon them. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Going to sing one final song as we close. It's an old hymn by Graham Kendrick. "All I once held dear, built my life upon, knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing." I really love the words of this. I think in some ways it's the words for someone who has spent their whole life focused on religion and ritual. That was what they thought life was all about. But in the end, they discovered actually there's no greater thing than Jesus. That it's not about religion. It's about relationship. All I once held dear, maybe all the religions and the rituals, everything I built my life on, all the world reveres, everything I thought gain, actually now it's loss. It's spent, it's worthless. Compared to this, the sparkling new wine of Christ and a relationship with him. Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. Let's sing together.
Yeah.
let's pray together as we close. Once again, Father, we thank you that you are such a faithful God. So may we who have shared in worship, shared in communion together, glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation, our life, and our hope, and who reigns as Lord now and forevermore. Amen.